Thank you. Thank you. I have been introduced a lot of ways. God forgive him. And God forgive me for enjoying it. Hey, it's a great day to be alive. If you're alive, let me see your hands one more time. Wiggle them a little bit. God likes a little action. Where's this Irish kid I'm supposed to dedicate? Where is it? Well, let's move it. This is the first Irish lassie to be dedicated in this cathedral. Amen. Bless you, sweetheart. Come on over here. And she's all excited. How about you? Yeah, tell me about it. Amen. I don't know whether Ed's excited or confused. I'm not sure. Can you hold it up so they can see it? I'm afraid to touch it.
She's a week and a half.
How old is she?
A week and a half.
Week and a half. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. Let me have her so you can hold it up. You're not holding it up. They can't see that thing here. Beautiful. Beautiful. Born on Easter. Do you plan that? All right, hold her here a second. Let me.
I got her.
She's so small that she could run through your fingers, you know, and not miss it. Let me read from 1 Samuel, 2nd chapter, 20th verse. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then when I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, three bullocks, one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, brought him into the house of the Lord, into Shiloh, and the child was young. They slew the bullock, brought the child to Elias, and she said, to Eli rather, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And so what we're doing this morning is lending Sarah Christina McGlynn to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, Ed and Chris, you love this child. You will rear her in the fear and the admonition of Almighty God, that you will always be an example to her and love her, cherish her. Yeah, that's all right, baby. I don't blame you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take Sarah Christina and give her to you. forever. Father, take this child. Bless Ed and Chris. God, I pray that you'll bless this grandmother standing here and this great-grandmother standing here. Father, we give her to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In Christ's name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God love you. God love you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bless you. I love you much. Love you too, Grandma. Amen. Many more. God love you. Love you. Okay, thank you. Here's your certificate. The first Irish kid. Amen. Hey, hey, what a day to be alive. I have 7 grandkids, and I'm about to be a great-grandfather. And I wouldn't take $1 million for any of them, but I wouldn't buy another one for 5. No way would I do it. They all think I'm rich. My grandkids don't even call me granddad. They call me Greenaway. That's a God's truth. Punch him one. They call up on the phone. They want to see. Who do they want to see? They want to talk to Greenaway. They all think I'm rich. But I love them. And I'd fight for them. Whatever's mine, I'll fight for. Amen. So today, we are going to give the charge, and God help them to be charged, to the men and women that are going out to the ends of the earth this summer to preach Christ and Him crucified. Not to take pictures, to preach. Amen. If you want a crowd, go down here to Catfish Town, get some pictures before you go. And then when you get down there, spend your time preaching. Tell them about it. Amen. And remember that you're not going to save anybody. You're not God. You're not the Lord of the harvest. And you're not even in management. You're only in sales. And let me say this to you. How many are here that are going out? Will you stand just for a second? Just stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Now, I don't come to you like I come to you like the Apostle Paul said. I don't come to you with words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit. I learned many, many years ago how to go in the Spirit. You know, this morning, I was thinking this morning coming down here about Ishmael and Isaac. What in the world was I thinking about Ishmael for? He's an Arab. What was I thinking about Isaac for? But I'll tell you, those men had to make a choice. One of them got the oil. The other one got the promise. So what do you want this morning? Do you want the oil of materialism, the oil of wealth, or do you want the promise? I got news for you. Long after the oil is gone, the promise will still be there. Amen? And I'm reading this morning from the 4th chapter of Zechariah. Don't turn to it. God help you. You never find it. You turn to one another when I'm half through and says, I found it right there. Amazing you found it. Don't bother. We are talking now about breaking the shoreline. You are never going to do anything for God until you break the shoreline. You can no longer be tied to your mother's apron strings. Have you got that? Now, I know a lot of you are still calling Mom, and you're still calling Dad, and you're still talking about home. But, mister, the day you came to this college, you started to break the shoreline. Amen? And the best thing that can happen to you is when you can no longer see Mom, Pop, when you no longer see that home. When you then turn around and you see another city, you see another home whose builder and maker is God. Now, once you get turned around, you don't have any problems. But until you do, you got problems. Now, we're looking at a world full of unrest. And you're looking at a world that never has the challenge been as great as it is in your generation. Never has the challenge been greater. You know more. You run faster. You've climbed higher mountains. You've broken every record in the book. What a day. What a day of opportunity. But the opportunity is no good unless you take advantage of it. You know, there comes a time like Matthew. You know, Matthew was a tax collector. No doubt Matthew spent a lot of his time thinking about retirement. I'll collect these taxes. He sat in his little office and he collected taxes until, you know, he got to looking at retirement. But somebody came along and changed all of that. I don't know what your thoughts were until you got here. But I'll tell you one thing that this place here will do for you. It'll change you. Amen. It'll make you think a little differently. Now, Matthew, somebody came along and said what? What did he say? Follow me. What did he do? He followed him. What happened to his retirement? I don't know. I don't know what happened to his retirement. I don't know what happens to mine, as a matter of fact. Peter was a fisherman, but somebody came along and said, hey, what did he say to him? What did he say to him? Follow me. What did Peter do? He followed him. He quit smelling like fish. I better not get into that. Paul quit the university. He discovered that all of the wisdom of men's words weren't much. Luke left his medicine, never to set another bone again. James and John, the sons of thunder, the only Irishman in the crowd, they never got in another riot. Why? Because somebody came along and said, follow me. Amen? Follow me. Now the question this morning is, are we ready to quit what we've been doing up to now and follow him? And I have learned, mister, you break the shoreline. You cut the ties. And you swing out on the promises of God. Sailing under sealed orders. Are you with me? Let me see your hands. I can't tell from your faces. Now the angel that talked with me came again and waked me. And waked me. He was asleep. I see some of you around here that need awakening. You've heard about all of this so much. And by the time a semester's over, you've heard so much, if you don't watch, it'll all run together. And so it was with Zechariah. He had gone asleep. He got laid back. I got news for you. You will never do anything for God laid back. You might get you a few tapes, music, what do you call them? Cassettes and sing with them. Soundtracks. You might get you a book on of good sermons. You know, after a while you wonder whether there's anything original. Does God give anybody anything anymore? 2/3 of the sermons I hear I've read. And I you know, it's like the fella coming out of church and he said to his partner, he said, "Hey, that was original and good." And the guy said, "I know it was original and good, but the original wasn't any good and the good wasn't original." Like the two hip bookies coming out of church in Hialeah, Florida. One of them said, "Look, stupid, that's Hallelujah, not Hialeah." You live long enough, you hear everything. But anyway, the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, "What seest thou?" And I behold and looked and behold a candlestick all of gold with a bowl on top of it. And I'll save you. I won't read the rest of it. You've read it before. And he saw the oil and the fire and the flame and the light. Now we're talking, they're talking about the restoration of the temple. The thing that everybody said couldn't be done. The thing that every devil in hell tried to keep them from doing was restoring that temple and putting the candlestick and the light back in the temple to let the Jews and everybody else know that our business is light, not darkness. Amen. He is the light of the world. Amen. And the problem with light is you got to have a source. Amen. A light bulb will never go on. I don't care how long you look at it. Unless it gets power from somewhere. Amen. The candlesticks were no good without the oil. You're no good without the source of power. You are not the power. You only reflect the source of the power. Amen. Amen. And you're no good until there's something feeding you so that you preach light. Amen. That when you walk in darkness, there is light. Let me get back and finish that text. And so I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, I don't know what to mean." Sounds like a lot of us on final exams. Don't know what to mean. We've seen them. We've read about them. We still don't know. Anyway, then the angel, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto the restorer of the temple." This is the word of the Lord unto those that would restore the light in the darkness of the Jewish history. This is the word of the Lord. Go get you the best architect you can find. Buy the best steel. Let's get this scene together once and for all. Get you some graduate engineers. And get you some graduate theologians. you a carload of PhD. And you'll build that temple. Don't worry about it. You're going to build it if you get enough engineers with the savoir-faire. You're going to build it. Is that what he said to him? Is that what he said? This is the word of the Lord, not by might. Ooh, not by might, nor by power. Amen. Not with wealth, not with man's wisdom, not with anything, not might, power, but by my spirit. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. By my spirit, thus saith the Lord. So this morning, what are we doing? We're not building the temple, but we are building the kingdom. Amen? We are kingdom builders. I'm a part of the kingdom. Not by might. Might is a mighty thing. We all love might. We all love strength. And it's good. We all love talent. Oh, how men's talents are being displayed today. Men's talents. Oh, I have talent. Of course you do. Everybody's got talents. God never called anybody without giving them a talent. You're maybe sitting on it, but you got it. Everybody has talent. But he said it's not by talent. It's not just by looking good. Oh, no, not by might, nor by power. Do you know the world's power at its mightiest is weak? The church's true power at its feeblest is omnipotent. Amen. There is no power like the power of his spirit. Amen. You can take world power, you can conquer land, but that's nothing compared with the power of his spirit. You can take a whole army. You can take 10 million doctors. None of them can heal leprosy. But I read in the book that when the Spirit of the Lord began to work in the heart of a servant, the leper was cleansed. Amen. The leper was cleansed. Have you seen any armies split seas? Have you? Have you seen any armies remove mountains like that? Have you? He said, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. saith the Lord. You know, power and might can build organizations. Power and might can build temples. Power and might can wipe away much. But might and power can never build his kingdom. Amen. Now, if you're trying it with might and power, you're dead in the water. You can build a business, even a name, but you can't build the church with it. And if you're going out there, you're going out there not by might nor by power, but by spirit. Amen. By spirit. And not anything you can do is going to build the kingdom. I don't care what you think of it. It'll never build it. In my 51 years of preaching, I have seen everything tried. Everything. I have seen the most outlandish ideas. God help us. If ideas would have built a church, we'd all be in heaven. It'd all be over. I've seen everything tried. But every generation has to come back. Amen. To not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, thus saith the Lord. Amen. That's where you come back to. You know, somebody said one time to a sculptor, and I saw some of the great elephants. He was a sculptor of elephants. Amazing. I saw some of them. Amazing. Take a piece of granite. A block, a raw block of granite, and come up with a beautifully carved elephant. Maybe weigh, some of them must weigh 2 or 3 tons. Somebody said to him one day, How in your mind, how can you carve those beautiful elephants out of that block of granite? He said, easy. He said, take that chisel there. Take that hammer. And I'm going to show you. All right, I got the hammer and the chisel. I'm standing before a block of granite. Now what do I do? He said, I'll tell you. Just start cutting out of that block of granite, everything that doesn't look like an elephant. How do you build his church? How do you build it? You build it because you have cut out everything in your life that doesn't look like the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hukalabar Sunday, hallelujah. Everything that doesn't look like him, you cut it out. Amen. Not by might nor by power, but by him. Hallelujah. And until you cut out everything that doesn't look like him, you're in trouble. And a lot of this stuff we got going today sure doesn't look like him. Amen? I don't have any problem with it. I can cut it out. And I thank God that he gave me sense enough to do it. I am convinced that we don't know much about the Spirit. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced, in spite of all of the teaching that we get, we're still going to go out there and try it in our own strength. That's what bothers me. And I am convinced at this point in time that many of you know nothing about his Spirit and how it really works. Because you're still tempted to use the might and the power of talent and goodness. But I'm going to tell you something, mister. If you're going to work for God, you're going to have to go beyond talent and goodness, because one day you'll find that neither one of them is enough. When you face devils, buddy, it's not talents and goodness you need. You need by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said here, "And who art thou, O great mountain, who art thou before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain." Amen. What are you, devil, before the man of God? God Almighty, by his Spirit, will smite that mountain and it'll become flat. Amen. He'll lay one on them. Boom. Amen. Flat. You think your little talent's going to do that? You think your little degree is going to do that? No! You need a degree to satisfy those that need degrees. Amen. I want you to have a degree. I want you to have a BA, BS, MDiv. Some of you will hang around here till your beard's dragging on the ground going to seminary. Know who art thou, O great mountain? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone. Woo. With shouting, crying, grace, grace unto you. Hallelujah. Grace, grace, grace unto you. Amen and amen. Amen. Zerubbabel had it made when he got that message. God had to whop Zechariah, get him awake, and say, "Do you understand what I'm trying?" He said, "No, I don't understand. I only had a 2-point average in college." God said, "Now I'm going to bring that average up. Hey, I'm going to pour into you, not by might nor by power, but I'm going to pour my Spirit, oh, hallelujah, my Spirit upon you." Amen. When you go forth, you're going forth to these lands with his Spirit upon you. You know, if you wanted to read it, In Isaiah, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold," amen, "mine elect." Hey, I'm in business. That's why I've never been afraid. Upset, yes. Angry at times, yes. But I don't run scared. Because he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. If I walk in the darkness, I have light. Woo! When I meet devils, I have power. Amen? Oh, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Hey, tell me about it. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Hey, all I want is God to be crazy about me. I remember one night in Arkansas, Bert Webb was preaching years and years and years ago, and there was a little old kid in the front seat that every time Bert would say something, that kid would, his elevator didn't go all the way to the top, and he had a baseball cap on, and it was kind of crosswise. And every time Bert would say something in his preaching, he would just go through contortions and say, lulululululu, you know. And so Bert got tired of this because he was the center of attraction. And any time that anybody's the center of attraction other than the Holy Spirit in the meetings, it's out of order. And so Bert told him, he said, now you stop that. He said, every time I say something, you go through all of this. You stop that. And that kid scrunched down in his seat and pulled that baseball cap over his eyes and just glared at Bert all the way through the meeting. And Bert was preaching, of all things, on the love of God. Hey, what a night for that idiot, for that person to be there. And so Bert got down to the end of his message and he said, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He said, Jesus loves me. And that kid down there, he said, yeah, I'll bet he's just crazy about you. Behold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my Spirit upon him. Hallelujah. I have put my spirit upon him. Amen. Take away anything else you want from me, buddy. Take away the car I drive, the house I live in, the table I eat at. Take away my clothes. But, mister, leave me with the Spirit of the Lord upon me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, I have put my spirit upon him. I am convinced we know little about this spirit, this wind from heaven, this ruah. Intangible. This intangible spirit. You know what the word intangible means? You can't perceive it. You can't define it. Who can define the Spirit? You can define the Ark of the Covenant. You can define the Ten Commandments. There's a lot of things, but you can't define the Spirit that he's talking about. It's intangible. It's invisible. Amen. You don't know when it's going to hit. You see, that's what that old witch doctor, he didn't see on me. He didn't see that spirit. Hey, because you can't see it. Amen. You only know when it happens. Amen. Dear God, take everything away. I'll say it again. Take everything away from me, but leave me with the Spirit of God. Leave me in a position where, when I need him, he comes upon me. Amen. I remember with Raymond Sanders, we were traveling through the bush country. And on little one-lunger motorcycles, we were young missionaries, full of vinegar. The whole world was level. Dear God, we live like, well, we just live like it. But we were strong, you know, and we were young, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon us. And I remember going into this village, and there was a woman tied to a tree, a fallen tree, and she had eaten a bark off of that tree like a dog. She was barking like a dog. And going back and forth along that tree. And Raymond said to me, he said, "Greenaway, God, we're gonna help her." I said, "Where do you get that we stuff?" He said, "We're gonna help her." Raymond had a real faith. He died, of course. Became very sick. I remember the night that I went down to Takoradi. My old buddy, we went to school together in France. I loved him very much. And I walked into that hospital about 3 o'clock in the morning. A little dim light. And I looked at my buddy. He had gone, maybe by this time had lost 50 pounds. And I walked out and I said to the doctor, "What about it, sir?" He said, "You know, he's dead. Clinically, he's dead, but he won't die. What keeps him alive? I don't know." You know what kept him alive, mister? It was the Spirit of God in him that kept him alive. Amen? You could see it in his eyes. How long would the Spirit of God live in us after we're clinical dead? I said, what's the prognosis? He said, "He's dying. Get him out of here." In those years, West Africa was rough. I went back into that little room and knelt down beside Raymond. And I said, "Oh, buddy, I am going to take you home. I'm going to take you home. Take you home. I'm your buddy." And he looked at me and he said, "Greenaway, what do you mean? Take me home." He said, "I am home. I am home. Where is the will of God for any of you? Not a house of bricks with a pile of bricks with a roof on it. Home to you now is, and from this time henceforth will be where the will of God is for you. Where the will of God is for you. Where the will of God is for you. That will be home." Amen? Quit thinking about home. We got him, we prayed. He got a little better. He begged us. We got his stuff out of customs, put it on a truck, against our better judgment. We started up into the interior. He was in Waiguya, the last station, Brother Webb, before you get into the desert. He almost died. We begged him. We said we'd clear a strip, bring in a small plane, fly him out. "No, keep going." He laid over the hood of that Jeep. I wept. I was angry at the devil. We got him up there. He lived 6 months. But every morning he lived, every day he lived, his African boys would carry him out tenderly and put him in that Jeep station wagon and take him out to a different village. And one of them would hold him up on one side and one on the other. And he would preach that Winnam Ebnongi Dunya Hatiko Edmingi Bereble. He would preach Jesus is the light of the world. And God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. And he would stand there until they could no longer hold him up. They'd take him back to that old mud house. And he would recuperate until the next morning. And they carry him out and hold him up in another village. What held him? Talent? Goodness? His diplomas? No, the Spirit. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Thus saith the Lord. I remember when he died. They called me. Radioed into my station. I tore up my car getting across those trails. 300-400 miles. Got to him. He was skin and bones. And he looked at me. I took him in my arms. He looked at me. And he said, Greenaway, he said, I'm going home now. Not to St. Joe, Missouri. Not to Los Angeles, California. He said, I'm going home to that eternal city. Amen. He looked at me and said, the last words I heard him say was, Greenaway, do you think the Lord will be pleased with me? I've asked myself that this day. Will he be pleased with my life? Just ask him that once in a while. Will he be pleased with me? And so this spirit is invisible, intangible, and imponderable. You can't measure it. Scientists can't measure it. Chemists can't measure it. What a mighty God we serve. Woo! He has reserved the greatest thing. And said, devil, you can't touch it. Amen. And when I fill a man with this spirit, you can't touch him. You may kill him. Hey, but you'll never kill the inside. You may kill the missile, but the old warhead took on. Oof. Because the Spirit of God that's upon us is independent of all props. You don't need props with this. You don't know from which direction it comes. And Joel cried, you know, the Bible is full of it. Joel cried, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And then that great flaming day of Pentecost came. And they were all filled. And so Jesus himself was born of the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, led of the Spirit, went in the power of the Spirit to proclaim the kingdom of God. And so we, as that Galilean peasant, proclaim the word by the Spirit. Even you around, bugged him to death, Elijah. He said, I want what you got. I want what you got. And Elijah said, then you need to go to school. If you want what I got, you got to get the same degree. You got to read the same book. Huh? No. He said, and you know, the sons of the prophet said, hey, do you know your master will leave you today? Those buzzards followed him and kept shouting at him. Do you know that your master, what in the world did they think? They sounded like the State Times. Do you know your master's going to leave you today? And finally, Elisha said, tell me something I don't know. But he kept on, and he followed him, tagged after him. And listen, but when the mantle fell, he didn't get that mantle because he simply tagged after him. He didn't get that mantle because he went to Jimmy Swaggart Bible College. He received that mantle because he was ready to receive it. And because his life measured up. Amen? And he took that mantle and went on. You want the mantle of the founders of this movement. You want the mantles of the prophets. I got to let you go. God help us. I'm going to tell you, folks, something. Paul said, having begun in the Spirit. Now, this movement was begun in the Spirit. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to finish? Are we going to finish in the flesh? Are you going to finish in the flesh what was begun in the spirit? Amen. People ask me about this college. They say, Greenaway, is it what they say it is? I said, it's more. And I pray that this college, having begun in the spirit, will never end up in the flesh. Amen. Woo, I won't be around. I'll be dead. That's why I'm glad I got here on the starting. Hey. If you're going to go in the flesh, I won't be around to see you. What do we need? What do we need? Do we need the resources of intellect? Enthusiasm? Cleverness? All are necessary, but none of them will do the work of God. And I'm going to tell you, all you got to do is look around you and see that every time men tried this, it failed. Oh, you can build to a point. But it's your kingdom, not his. So you have to decide whose kingdom are you building. Oh, you can build yours. God doesn't. Somebody asked me about Heritage Village. I said, God could care less. God could care less. What do we need? You know, the Spirit is what you need. Not by might nor by power. Do you know, every place I've ever opened for God, every place I've ever gone, I always believed that the Spirit preceded me there. Amen. His Spirit. You know, when Jonah went down to Nineveh, God preceded him. Do you know that the Ninevites were fish worshipers? They believed that there would come a Savior out of the sea. They preached it. Hey, and God comes along with a whale. Spits him out. That'd melt your butter if you were a fish worshiper. Here he is. God delivered him. Federal Express. Boom. There he was. Everywhere I've ever gone, he always preceded me. You're not going to bring God to Chile or Mexico. God is already in Mexico. He's already in Chile. Amen. You are only going to reveal him. I got to stop. Somebody says, Greenaway, are you trying to make missionaries? No! If I make you, God help you. You're not worth shooting. No, if the Spirit is not calling you today, forget it. Forget the regions beyond. It's not worth it. Because in the regions beyond, mister, you need the call. He said the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. He didn't say, go. He didn't say to us at Swaggart's College, persuade men to do this work. Make smart preachers. He didn't call us to make you smart. He didn't call us to call you. You get that straight. I don't care if not one of you become a missionary if you're not called of God. I don't care. But I'm going to tell you something. If God has called you, go for it. Amen? And if you love souls, go for it. And if the Spirit is speaking to you, go for it. But not unless the Spirit is speaking. No, he didn't say persuade. He said simply pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Amen. No. The word is the seed of the harvest. It'll not return unto him to void. The dynamics of all that we're doing is Pentecost. The Spirit of God upon us. Amen. Unless you have that Spirit, it is better that you keep your hands off of God's work. Let there be no going or giving without it. Don't depend today on strange fires and false strength. Here is the infinite and appalling wonder. The Spirit by whom the work is done cannot say the word of Christ finally to the people in darkness unless he can have my lips. When that boy came to me that day in about 1949 in a town called Tangeta, and he ran up to me that morning. We had gone for a whole year without a convert. And he came running up to me that morning because I had walked out. I said, God, I've got to have a soul today. I can't stand it. Because I had gone to win the lost, not to spend my time building buildings. How many times during that year we had walked those trails and I had walked with Achan, the boy whose picture remains on my desk, sitting around a campfire at night watching the fires on a dozen hillsides. While witch doctors poured blood over heathen altars, you need more than talent and goodness, mister. They screamed, the tom-toms beat until the ground vibrated. Achan had problems with his feet. They would bleed. He had a disease. He'd sit around, bleed his feet. I followed his bloody footprints over many a trail. We'd come into a village and it would be empty. The tom-toms would beat the message and they would be gone. And we'd weep. And I'd sit around a fire at night and look over at those terrible looking feet, and he would be trying to work charity into those feet. And I would think, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings of great joy to those that sit in darkness. I remember that morning after a year of that, I said, God, I got to have a soul. When suddenly I saw this young man running across the field, he threw himself at my feet and said, are you God? I said, no, but I know who he is. Woo, I know who he is. He said, last night, 45 kilometers from here, I was pouring blood over our altar. When there was a voice in the sky. Woo! Woo! What I couldn't do with all of my preaching, with all of my going, God did in a second by saying, stop! Go to the town of Tangeta, and there you will find a young white man that has a message for you. Woo! 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 Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Has a message for you. He said, I've run all night. I'm scared. I'm scared. And I called Achan, and we knelt in the desert sands and prayed our first convert through to a good old backwoods gingham calico salvation. What I couldn't do in a year, God did in 5 minutes. That man panting at my feet said, I've run all night. I'm scared. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. The mountain shall be made flat. Are you ready to go to Chile? Are you ready to go to Mexico? I'll tell you. Just let me say this in closing. I remember the story some years ago of the little boy whose father promised him that he could go fishing. You see, we're promising you now that you can go fishing. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You're going fishing. And he came to his dad. His dad promised him that on a certain day he'd take him fishing. And he went to his office. And he walked in. And he said, I'm ready to go fishing. And his father said, gee, I'm sorry, but I can't go today. That crestfallen son said, Daddy, but you promised me. You promised me. But he said, Dad, I'm sorry, I can't. And finally, his dad picked up a map. Picked up a map. Of the world that he had there. And he took the map and he tore it all up. And he said, son, I'll tell you what. He said, take this and go in that other room. And if you can get all of this together, put this world back together. He said, I'll take you fishing this evening. He knew his son could never do it. But the kid took the tatters and went into the next room. 20 minutes later, he came out with a map together. He said, I've done it. His father said, son, it's impossible. It's impossible to get all of that together. Impossible. How did you do it? What brilliance? What power? He said, Dad, it was easy. It was easy once I found out that on the back of that map was the picture of a man. And he said, all I did was, I didn't put the map together. I put the man together. And when I got the man together, the world was together. Do you hear me? Whenever you get the man together, whenever you see him, the rest of the world will fall in place. You don't worry about the map. You worry about the man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who said, I will pour out my spirit? Amen. Who said, not by might, nor by power, but by me. Whew, by my spirit. Will you stand? You that are going, stand. Only you that are going, come down and stand around this altar. Come on. You are not going in the power of your might. Amen. You're not going in the power of your strength. Amen. Can we have a little music today, please? You are going in the power of his might. Will the faculty come? Will you stand in the back? I want you to move out in the aisles, but I don't want you to come up here. Just move out. Move somewhere. How many of you are thrilled here that you're going? Amen. I hope you're just as thrilled when you come back. Amen. We charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the choir going to give us a song? I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the president of this college, and I thank God for the president of this college. I thank God for every member of that faculty. You will never again in your life ever see as many wonderful people together as a faculty as you're looking at in this college today. I don't care if this college lasts for 1,000 years. You are looking at one of the finest faculties that any Bible college has ever had. Amen. God help you. God help all of you to go forth in the power of His Spirit. Amen. I want the faculty to come right up here. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say for what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be, for He is the Lord. Raise your hand. Look up into His face and sing it to Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He has risen from